Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At, episode 127. In this episode, I bring back the homie, the comrade, Chikum, out of the ATL. And we're going to continue our discussion on capoeira and African liberation. Again, this is going to be an ongoing discussion. So this is part two of many. Check it out.
It seems to me that the black personality now has a kind of vigor, a kind of vitality, and a kind of a sense of life, of something which does not come from here, but comes from much deeper regions.
They won't be the king, but long little chief. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long little chief.
Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At. And I'm bringing back a brother that I have yet to meet in person, and I plan on doing it before the end of the year. Shout out to the big homie Kwajo Danso, aka Chikum. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. You know, even better now that we're able to make this happen. It's always good to hear from you, and be in your presence. And I'm also looking forward to seeing you before the year is out.
Yes. I know we had a lot of technical difficulties, so thank you for your patience. And I see you guys had an open holdout, man. I'm super duper duper jealous.
Yeah, it was nice. It was real nice. I mean, you know, we've been meeting up. I think there was one Sunday since we started this year that we haven't met up. That was a very lonely Sunday. But yeah, we've been getting out there. And it's all been really good. And just recently, over the past, I mean, three hodas. There was this one, the one last week, and then the one before that one. We had three people come in from out of town and, you know, lend their energy to the space. And that's always a lot of fun. So,
for those that don't know, a hoda is a circle in capoeira where you get to play capoeira, where you actually really, really learn what you learn in class. You apply what you learn in class. So, yeah. We used to have one here in Ohio once a month, and not in my city in Cleveland, and everybody used to come out to that, but then like two people got into it like really hardcore. They had beef. I'm not going to name names, but my goal is to bring y'all brothers back together. So one day, hopefully I'll bring y'all back together and we can start these monthly holdouts. And everybody used to come over. You just never know who came through, and it used to be like really, really dope. And you know, I had just touched down Ohio, so for me it was just like, oh man, this is dope. Because let me just say this, you would think that places like New York City, you know, LA would have like these big holdouts where different schools would come out. They do not. Yeah. It's fucked up. They do not. For several reasons that we're not going to go over in this show. We might touch on it, but. So coming to Ohio and seeing different schools come together and play, you know, once a month, like that was like a huge deal for me. And I know that situation is unique to see three or four different schools and then people from within that city and then people from outside the city from different schools come and play. It was just like super fun. So it is. So and I know I haven't been in a holdout since pre-COVID. So it's going to be like getting on a bicycle again after not being on a bicycle for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely know what you're saying.
So it's like a totally different, like you could train in class all day. You could train every day with your cardio. You could do all that stuff. But when you get into the whole that circle, it's just totally different. It's just totally different. It's just wild.
It really is. It really, really is. But, you know, it's so worth it. And like for you, I'm sure, you know, like it's just going to be a matter of, you know, practice. Like this year, like the very first, like five holdas, I went and I was like, damn, I don't remember how to do this anymore. But like, you know, you just have to keep going. And then now it's like, okay, what? Honestly, now I still feel like I'm in that space.
Cool.
But I know that I've kind of reacclimated to the feeling of being in that setting. Yeah. And there's nothing like it. So
there's nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. Especially when you had, because I saw the video y'all posted. It wasn't you. It's Pele posted, Pele Ogun. He posted that video of the singing. And I was just like, oh gosh, I missed that. Like, I was like, this, yeah. Y'all had that perfect energy. I said, I know that energy is perfect right there. I know right now that Ashe right there is just like, mwah. You know,
like, yeah, chef's kiss.
Yes.
And that can be speech.
Yeah, well, so we're talking about. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Good. No, I was just, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you, man. Like, seeing you in these Hondas. Like, meeting you is going to be one thing, like, in person. And then, seeing you in the Honda is going to be, like, a whole nother level. Because I see, you know, you've been posting your. It looks like you're having classes. You're having some type of Honda. Or at least sessions in the park. And I see those. And I'm like, man, I got to get up there. Drive up
to Dayton. I have two classes that are like open. I have a kids class and I have an adults class. The adults class has been going on for a while, but I have a kids class now, and then I teach at my job. So I have like those are like kind of private just for my students at my job. So yeah. I have like in total, I have about 20 students, and once they remove the restrictions from my job, I'm gonna bring them all together to train. So I can't wait for that. So it'll be huge. So yep. Bad. Yeah, that's really so I'm literally like teaching like 4 days a week now. So it's like, oh snap. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. So we're talking about Capoeira and African liberation. And again, this is gonna be an ongoing discussion. So I'm always gonna bring Chikun back. Hopefully bring other people in with you. So we can make the discussion more broader. And this is something that I thought about from our last discussion, and then with the situation that happened with Mr. Suasana. And all the discussion from that, it really made me go back to think and ask myself, you know, is Capoeira in the 21st century about liberation, right? Is it really about that? What do you think?
Man, I mean, I think that's a good question. And I mean, I think it's hard to say because in a sense, right, it depends on who we're asking and we're asking. Because I think it's definitely still part of the zeitgeist. At least the liberation narrative is part of what people who, you know, outside of Capoeira, people who know about Capoeira, but have never trained it, it's part of what they understand about it in a very fundamental sense. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when we think about, I mean, you can even just think about liberation, period. Anyway, I think there's a really strong no.
I see what you're saying. And I agree with you. And I look at karate, for example. Like karate means open hand, right? And that was created by, that was created by peasants that they wanted to fight it against the nobility, right? Who had weapons. They didn't have access to weapons. So they created karate to fight against people with weapons. And that's where that comes from. And then, so now when you look at karate, when you think of karate, you think of Chuck Norris. You know what I'm saying? So that aspect is, you know, you think of, we joke around in the martial arts community. We say, oh, karate is like McDonald's, you know, where, no disrespect to the art form, but it's been corporatized. And, you know, you have all these Chuck Norris academies all over the country. And they're like McDonald's, right? They're franchises. They're really about locking you into contracts. So that concept of liberation and fighting against the nobility is completely gone. Another, I give you an example, yoga, you know, like yoga, the same thing. Like yoga has been really just snatched out of its, you know, spiritual foundation. And it's not really what it originally was. And I'm not saying that you should get into it for the spiritual aspects of it. I mean, you know, you might want to do it to get in shape and to center yourself and to find peace. I think that's dope. But, you know, like, where the foundation came from, you know, like it's been snatched out of it and commercialized. And, you know, again, you're right with the outside, like every time I go out in the streets, like, oh, that's Capoeira. Oh yeah, Capoeira is, you know, Africans fighting against Europe. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah, definitely. You hear it from non-practitioners all the time.
Yeah.
Right? You hear that all the time. But then we go into these spaces, these schools, and you hear about the abuse and you hear about, you know, people like disappointed in what they thought, or they thought they were going to go in there and learn about, you know, African culture, or they were going to, you know, or they don't even talk about, you know, Africa, or they don't even like, I'm not trying to hate, but like, there was like Capoeiristas and Black Lives Matter. And I'm kind of like, well, that's what Capoeira was already always about. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, it's new. We're injecting Capoeira to Black. And I was like, but actually it's always been that. Like it should have been. But then again, I know instructors. I've met instructors who never said anything about police brutality, never said anything about, you know, exploitation of Black and brown bodies. You know, they've never like brought it up in their class, and they were more like, oh, it's all about unity. And it's kind of like, well, you kind of got to. Excuse me. They're the people that are affected by the white supremacist capitalist patriarchy. So right. I've met people like that, and they were like, no, I don't do that. I don't involve politics. And I'm like, it's kind of like the discussion they're having now about critical race theory, right? Like, oh, it's this discussion, God. But this is, you know, this is 10 years ago. And I'm like, I've got into debates with people. Where I was like, I don't think you should be teaching capoeira, you know? And they're like, why? Because, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know the movements, but you don't really know you know the history. You teach the history because you have to, but you're not really applying it to the 21st century, you know?
Right.
And on one hand, I understand that for a lot of Brazilians, because I've talked to Brazilians about this as well. And they say, well, the reason why I teach this is because most Americans don't want to hear it. And I'm here to make a living. Not knocking that at all, because you got to eat, you got to pay bills, and you do capoeira to, you know, to do those things, you know? So,
yeah.
So it's a lot more complicated than we think it is.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you hit on like a lot of the major variables, like so many of them. And yeah, I mean, one of the more shocking things, and it shouldn't even be shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it in a way that like I was like floored, like, oh my gosh, I never imagined this. But yeah, like just the fact that you could have an art form like capoeira where so many people are like, oh yes, yes, liberation. And then also at the same time, like you said, like come out and be like, oh yes, it's this new thing. Like let's integrate, you know, like capoeira and like social movements, right? Not even like, you know, Black Lives Matter specifically, just like social movements in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like, I mean, when you first asked the question, it, and you already hit on this too, right? Like we have to, one of the ways I look at this, like understand my answer, right? Like no answer, or my answer being no to your question of like, is capoeira about liberation in this day and age, is like, is looking at the society, right? Like looking at the role that capital plays, that capitalism plays in everything, you know, like what does capitalism do? At the end of the day, it, you know, commodifies and monetizes everything.
Yep.
So like, and you know, we can't just say, oh, okay, like it's, so when you say, you know, point out how the Messes come in or capoeira teachers from Brazil come in, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we have to reduce it to like teach this to, for it to be appealing. It's like, okay, so like, what is it about society that people can't just get behind liberation, right? You know, what is so complicated about that idea? And there's this way in which, you know, not only is, you know, capoeira part of the commodification process, is, I mean, is that reductionism? It's like, you're going to sell it to the most number of people if you appeal to the lowest common denominator. And for like a society like this one, like you said, again, with all those other examples of like yoga, karate, the lowest common, and capoeira, the lowest common denominator is the movements. So used to be this big, like grand way of life, because that's what it was, right? It was a way of life for people in a community. So it was all of that, those things. It was culture. It was, you know, leisure. It was work. It was everything. But like in this day and age, I mean, and that's what we're seeing, right? Like we are seeing pockets of people building community around capoeira, building like a way of life, right? You do that. I try to do that. The people I run with here in Atlanta, we're trying to do that. You mentioned Pelé, like he's all about that. But like,
and then the contramestra from Jersey, I forgot her name. Oh my God.
Oh, Amazonas.
Amazonas is, she's oh, yeah. doing it hard. She's yeah. doing it hard. Yeah.
Indeed. She goes in.
Yeah.
She really does go
yeah.
in.
She goes hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, it's one of those beautiful things, like, mm-hmm. about capoeira, it's that, or about capoeira in this day and age, and I guess throughout time, or at least the 20th century, that we can find each other, right? Like, we're building these communities in our, like, local pockets, but, like, because of, you know, modern technologies, we're still able to connect with one another outside of these local pockets. You know, again, like, you and I, like, we haven't even met, like, in person, but, like, yeah. I feel like, you know, like, just this kinship, like, and that's just a really important thing that I think people really need to, like, understand about not just capoeira, but so many other activities, right? Especially if it comes out of the United States, you know, meaning that it probably had some origin in, like, local or indigenous practice that was, like, innately more holistic, that when things hit the States, in order to be marketable, or at least marketable enough to profit from, right, for someone to come and teach it and, like, make a living off of it, they've got to be reduced to that lowest common denominator. And in that process of commodification, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to take out all of the substance, all of the essence of what really makes that thing. And to the point where, like you said, you know, I mean, there'll be people teaching capoeira and you'll be like, I don't know about that. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got the movements down, but, like, what else are you bringing to the table? Oh, yeah, I guess, you know, movements and the songs, people will, like, go out and they'll learn the whole, like, Portuguese language, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll
yeah.
come in there and be like, you know, fascist and, you know, anti capoeira, essentially, right? Like,
yeah,
anti-liberation.
Yeah, exactly. They're like anti. Like, they turn it into something that it's not. It looks good,
right? Yeah.
It looks great. People see the flips and they love it and they clap. But again, it doesn't have that substance. That even, and it's funny because, you know, like, I've had people come to class and push back on some of the things that we taught. Like, oh, you have to learn. You got to learn about candomblé. You know, and right. they're like, well, I'm Christian, that kind of blessed stuff. I said, I'm not saying you got to practice it. I'm just saying you got to understand that some of what we do comes from that concept. And it's important that you understand, because we got to have understanding of what we're teaching. Like, we got to teach that. So it's not just, well, why do we sing this particular song? You know, well, we sing this song because of X, Y, Z. And you have to get to the origin of that. So I get it. But then there's some things that we all learn that we're kind of like, well, we don't need to, you know, we can push back. We got to kind of learn it to get an understanding of what that concept is about, you know? So in a way, I can see why some instructors will take certain things out, because it's just not, a lot of people are just not, I don't want to sound elitist, but some people just not ready to hear. And that goes back to, you know, once again, I use critical race theory, that concept where it's not being taught in schools, but people are debating about whether it should be taught or not. And I'm like, well, it's not being taught. So, like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, so it's kind of like the same thing where I don't want to talk about candomblé because I might offend somebody, or somebody might say, oh, I didn't come here for that. You know, yeah. I came here to learn how to do, you know, a chapa de coro. Like, I like that kick. I saw it in a movie and I want to learn it. You know, mm-hmm. So it's like, okay. And I think, like you were saying, that's where they go to the least common denominator. Let's teach the movements. You know, and it's kind of like, okay, let's do that. But even the idea of, and I know this is something that I think every capoeirista debates or not, is, you know, is it a fight or is it something that we just get together and hang out with, you know? And I've been in spaces where they were like, well, you're too violent, you know? And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, you're too violent. And I'm like, but I'm not really violent. It was a kick. You know, and it's like, well, I thought you guys were supposed to hit each other. And it's like, well, it's a martial art. Like, but people don't, because of the way it's marketed.
Yeah.
And I've had Brazilians tell me that, like, I'd be like, hey, can you show me lucha? They'd be like, I tell you what, after class, we'll go over here and I'll show you lucha. And I'm like, oh, okay, lucha mini fight. And I'm like, okay, cool. And after we're done, they'll show me, like, yeah, just do this takedown, do this right here, do this. And I'm like, yo, you just teach a class on this.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, y'all don't want the class. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And they're like, yeah, like, just that right there to me is kind of anti-liberation. Like,
yeah,
you know, that idea. So that's, and I don't get offended when people say to me, well, capoeira isn't a real martial art, you really can't use it. I'm like, oh, that's because that's how it's marketed.
Right.
You know, it's marketed that way. So even in just that alone, which is not a, I don't want to say it's insidious, but it's still messed up and anti-liberation.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And you kind of answered, you kind of answered the second one. Are we creating space for marginalized people, particularly those in the diaspora, in the African diaspora? You kind of answered that question with the examples that you gave. Shout out to Pele and shout out to, it's because we linked up because of Capoeira Unidade. Yeah. Is it Unidade? Unidade from Alabama. Because I used to train with Unidade out of Cleveland, and then he moved out, and we had linked up before that. So I think we would find each other on his page. So shout out to him. I didn't give you to give him a shout out the first episode we were together. So that's how we linked up. And then Amazonias is Capoeira Libre Jaje.
There we go. Which is a great name. I mean,
it is. It's a dope name. And I got to meet them yesterday when I got baptized so long ago. He was at my bautizado. So long ago.
So, while we're doing shout out Eclipse Atlanta,
yes.
Then also shout out to Kamau, you know, like just, you know, the people in Atlanta who are like making those spaces, as far as you said, you know, like African spaces, like Kamau, Contramessa Kamau, we got Brother Doty in West End, they've got spots every Thursday night at 7 and then like Sunday we meet up at 3:30 at West End Park, you know, like both spots in West End, and just, yeah, I don't know what I would do without them. Well, I guess we would make our own holiday, but like, I'm glad they're doing their thing.
True indeed. And, hey, real quick, it was Kamau who had the open hall that made it on CNN, the one for the, they had a Black Lives Matter march. Was that him?
I have no idea.
I think I'm getting the cities wrong. I think it was in DC. I don't think it, my bad. It wasn't Atlanta. It was in DC. That they had an open hall that, and it was in, you know, during the march, and they had it was a protest, and they had it on CNN. I think it was DC. My bad.
That makes sense. I was like, damn, I missed it. I missed it. Like, I ran into Kamau at like at least a couple of protests last summer with his beating bow, and I was like, damn, that's such a great idea. Like, I should have brought mine. But yeah, I don't think there were any hauders proper.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I know when I went to a protest, I always got with the drummers. That's who I rolled with, because they made it easier. So
yeah,
so yeah. So you did answer that question: are we creating space for marginalized people, particularly in the African diaspora? And then of course we have blind spots, right? Of course we have blind spots, and particularly when it comes to women. And I want to bring women capoeiristas on the show, because what I've noticed is when it comes to women, like, they're all shaped the same.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the question I ask. Am I really opening up space for, you know, marginalized people in the African diaspora? Am I really doing that? Because all the women look the same, or they all have like backgrounds and, you know, other disciplines. So they're actually ready to go. And for me, you know, speaking from my perspective, I'm not. You know, like, I just started a kids class again. I should have been started a kids class even before COVID. I haven't had a kids class in years.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are usually the most hype and most eager to learn and absorb, and they suck it up like sponges. And if I want to continue, because what I noticed, shout out to Hampton Roads, Virginia. When I was there was a lot of capoeira there. And then when I left, there was still a lot of capoeira there, but then someone hit me up like a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, who's teaching capoeira down here? And I was like, oh, so-and-so is, and so-and-so is, and here's the information, and so-and-so is. And come to find out, they're not teaching capoeira no more. And I was like, oh, so there was like none of the numbers you gave me and the website, none of that stuff was working. And I was like, what? So I contacted my man, and he was like, my brother, you know, shout out to Rashid Allah. He was like, nope, I don't teach. So-and-so doesn't teach no more. And I was like, man. And that goes back to what I was saying about the babies. Like, the way we pass that information on is through the babies, the children. Like the Nation of God's Earth, we say babies for children, up until they're 18. So, like, they're the ones we got to teach so that they can carry that on. And if we're not doing that, we're definitely, and I'm guilty of that. I'm super guilty of it. Because I'm older and I like to be familiar. So I train with the same people all the time. We train all the time, the same people. And it's like, no, I got to look for new blood. And, yeah. And I see that happening in other cities. Like Cleveland used to have a lot of schools. Now they only have one. Columbus, Ohio doesn't have one anymore. Cincinnati has used to have three. Now they have one. And it's just, and I noticed that in different cities, it happens in cycles where you have, well, Atlanta and New York and LA will probably always have, and Houston will always have, because they're bigger cities. And you can teach capoeira at one part of the Atlanta and stay in that one part because it's that big. But smaller cities don't have that, you know. So I'm going to say no to that. We are doing it in pockets, but overall, you know, and hopefully we can change that. You know, overall, we're not doing like what we need to be doing, even in our own communities, you know. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask, you know, like how the unification efforts are going. Because I know that's the thing that we're working on down here. And it's funny because like, like I say we, because like kind of like as a group, you know, Eclipse, we were kind of like, oh, that's going to be one of our goals is to help unify Capoeira Atlanta. Because coming from the group that we left, you know, like it was very siloed.
Yes.
And if you stay in that group, you don't really have the opportunity to develop a good idea of what's going on, just like in the next community, you know? So like this year, you know, with the pandemic kind of like, yeah, everyone going back outside. We started, I mean, mingling more essentially with like the other groups in the city, and like every single group, you know, like just as far as Atlanta is concerned, every Capoeira group has a sense of wanting to unify.
Good, you know? Good, good.
So is that like, is that something that's going on up there in Ohio as well?
I'm going to say this. I'm speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because you used the right term, siloed.
Yeah.
You know, when I was working, because when I first got here, I had a job that I had to travel. And I took advantage of it. So I used to be like, oh, if I'm going to this city, I want to train. Yeah. So I would contact schools and they would interrogate me, which I get it. They would they would tell you like, you know, like, yo, what set you from? Yo, where your grandma stay? Like they interrogating me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I just want to train. I just want to know how much it is. You just want to train. Like, you know, I you know what I'm saying? Like I pay for a whole month. Like, you know,
yeah.
Tell me what I got to do. You know, if I got to kiss your feet, then I kiss your feet, you know. And luckily I would find one school that'd be like, oh, please come through. You know what I mean? And like, and I know that when I took, because what happened, this is my experience. This was my experience. Okay. I came from Grupo Brazil. That's where I got baptized and everything, right? In Virginia. And then what happened was my instructor, he left the area. He moved to California. He still lives there now. And so what happened is there was another school there. And then he was finishing his master's. He was moving back to New Jersey. So my boy Rashid Allah, he trained with him. He trained with him for like 3 years. And then I had someone else that trained with somebody else for 2 years that I knew. I just knew him on it. I just knew him from the community. And then we had this married couple that came in and they trained with I can't remember what the name of the school was. Oh, Manjinga. They trained with Capoeira Manjinga. And they had trained for like 6 years. So they came into the area. So we used to just play around, you know, we used to just go on the weekends and just play. And I had an elder, the late great elder, Masongo Vincent, he had his own space and he was like, hey, you need to come and teach. And I'm like, well, I've only been a capoeira 18 months. I really don't think I should teach. You know, I taught other stuff, but you know, I was teaching breakdance. He's like, no, you should come through. And I was like, nah. So he would, every time he would see me, he'd be like, yo. So then he introduced me to his name is Mujinho. And Mexicana, they were a married couple, and they was like, yo, you need to, they know, she knows all the songs, boom, boom, you train, I have the space. And I was like, I'll think about it. And then I ran into Rashid, he was like, yo, let's do it. And he and I were running a book club. So we started training together, and we started teaching classes. And then we would travel to different schools throughout the region. And since we didn't have, like, a mess today, I guess they thought it was cool for us to train. That's how I met Dita. I met Dita because he was teaching out of St. Petersburg, Virginia. So we used to go out there. He used to come out over to where we was at. So we were training consistently with different groups. So we started our school, you know, and we started teaching and training. And like, we was going to D.C., Alexandria. We was going all over. So that was my experience. My experience was we just went out because of people that we knew. We just knew these people, like, from outside of Capoeira. And we would just train with them. Yeah. And then when I came here, you know, I got with a particular school. And they were like, you can't train with nobody else. You just got to train with us.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? So I was like, I'm not used to that. I'm not cool. I'm not cool with that. So I quit. And then, you know, again, people will interrogate you like, yo, who you with, who you train with. And again, and so that's been my experience. So me not having like a mestre was actually a good idea because I can go places and train. Yeah. You know what I mean? So don't get me wrong. There are some schools that let you train with other schools. And I get it. It's not, that's not something that's unique to Capoeira. That's in other martial arts as well. You know, the Kung Fu, Karate, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they're very siloed. They're very insulated. And it's because, once again, capitalism, they scared they might lose their students to someone who might have better techniques. I get it, you know. But I still don't see why you can't have open holdouts together. Like, I still don't. And I've been at open holdouts where schools have pulled up and it got grimy. New York City, right? That's why in New York City, they when they have open holdouts, I'd be like, this is not an open holdout. This is your school. That's a holdout. It's not an open holdout. So, like, yeah. You know, open holdout means anybody can show up. It's like an open mic. Open mic doesn't mean, well, T-Kun can't come because he does trap music. No, open mic means you could come through and you could rap your trap music. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, I used to be like, and I've gone to New York, but they were like, yo, you can't come in here. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and I've seen people pull up at holdouts where they followed the etiquette. You know, they either had to play music and then play or reverse. I go to circles. You got to play and then play the instruments. But I seen that. And that's something that's endemic to all martial arts. But again, Capoeira is about liberation. It should be about us sharing information and sharing community. So I appreciate the fact that all of y'all, because originally I thought all of y'all was together. Then when I interviewed the first time, I was like, oh, no, y'all not all together. Y'all train separately and have classes separately, but y'all still share and, you know, support one another, show up for y'all workshops and all that. And I think that's what's fucking needed. That's what we need. Because the community needs to see that, you know. The community needs to see that we people. Oh, I know that's your boy. Oh, yeah, I saw Chikung the other day, and he said he know you. Yo, he's mad cool. Like, that's how it, that's what community is, you know, and that's how it should be. And I know, again, I know there's messages that bring beefs from them from Brazil, and they bring it here, and it kind of like, just like in other martial arts, it kind of like, there's a fallout with the students, and there's beef and stuff like that, and I get it, you know, like I understand. And that's not to say that I might go into a holdout and somebody might rub me the wrong way and then we take it out in the hold. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. And I think that's healthy. I think that we dish it out in the holdout and then we settle it there. You know, that's going to happen sometimes. It's like if you play basketball and I go into somebody's hood and I foul somebody wrong, he's going to get upset and we're going to dish it out. Like, I'm not saying we got to kill each other. I'm just saying, like, we're going to have disagreements, and I think that's natural, and that's part of – it's healthy, yeah. So, like, so I'm not saying that we're all going to be kumbaya. That doesn't happen all the time. I'd be a liar if I said that, you know, but that's been my experience, so.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, it sounds like we got to get that – man, I don't know. That's – huh. Atlanta's been my framework for, like, understanding so much of, like, just like a kind of like more macro level capoeira structures in the, you know, 21st century. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that, because I mean, it's definitely insightful.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, I'm glad that you have that experience, because that experience that I had of like, oh, we hanging out, we could go train with Dita, we go train with so-and-so, you know, we can go over here, we can go train with so-and-so, let's play over here. Hey, and you know, like, there was times when Dita was like, hey, can y'all come help me perform? Like, yo, we're coming through. And then we'd be like, hey, Dita, we need some more. I'm coming through. And it was just like, that's how it should be. Like, we should be supporting one another. So when I left there and I came here, I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not. Because I want my students to be able to play and train with anybody and learn from anybody. Like, really, that's what I want them to do. I want them to get the full capoeira experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, the all that. I want them to get the whole thing. I don't want them to just get what I want them to see, because what I want them to see is limited. I know that sounds grandiose, but to me, that's community, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think Kamau has a, he describes it as a marketplace, mm-hmm. as far as like what we're trying to build, right? Because, I mean, I guess as far as what we're building, not even trying to build, because when any group of people comes together, like, it doesn't matter what you're trying to build, like, you're already in the process of building something. So mm-hmm. right now, you know, we've got a Haitian Al dude in town, we've got Angoleros, we've got Contemporanea people, lots of different groups, and yeah, like, just every time we come together, you know, people, teachers come together, students come together, and the people in the community who are watching, they come up all the time. They're like, hey, you know, like, what's this about classes? You know, like, y'all do kids classes, like, how can I jump in? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yo, it's a marketplace. Like, we have a whole bunch of different styles represented here, a whole bunch of different, like, everything. So you just, you know, watch, talk to people, see what you like, talk to, you know, the people who are doing it, and, you know, jump in. And yeah, it is, it, one of the challenges, one of the things that I'm concerned about is this idea of, I mean, it's just the challenge of like continuing to build that, you know, like,
yeah,
how do you get people to leave the silos? How do you get, because even people who, have you watched The Nevers?
Yes. Yes.
Oh man, what do you think?
HBO Max.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. And I feel bad because like the that one white dude, the villain dude, that he's like, oh, I want to keep everything old school.
Yeah.
I know. I kind of understand where he's coming from. I'm like, yeah, like I shouldn't, because he's a villain, and I'm kind of like, so yeah. That's why when people bring it up, I try to act like I don't watch it, because I don't want to. You like that guy? You like that guy?
Are you talking about The Dentist? Or he's
no,
not
the guy that's the
the British guy.
He played
classic,
he
bad
was in
politician
a,
dude.
He's on that one show. He's on that one show. Preacher. He plays the guy that works for the Vatican. That guy, like, so.
that makes sense. I never watched that one, but
he's playing the same guy. But in this one, like, he has, I understand of why he's like, you got to keep everything old school. Like, we can't do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What was your point? I'm sorry.
Nah. I appreciate that perspective, too. You're the only person besides my girlfriend who I've talked to about this, show. So, maybe, you know, future podcast. But there was a line, someone said it in the sixth episode. You know, because it's the last episode of the season, she was like, and it stuck with me. And what she said was, people are afraid of change, right?
Yes.
Even the people who fight for it.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, one of the things that, like, I think about that as far as how it relates to what we're building and trying to build in Atlanta, as far as the capoeira community is concerned, is that, like you're saying, like, when we do have this big open marketplace, when we can have this like free exchange, not just of ideas and like, you know, goals and, you know, offering each other assistance, but like free exchange of students, right? Like mm-hmm. in the capitalist structure, that does inevitably mean lower returns, right? Like,
yes,
as far as capital. And obviously, you know, as far as the larger capoeira ecosystem, the returns will be higher, but, you know, capital, you know, you can't like monetize, financialize, you know, abstract, you know, returns on like the cultural ecosystem. So like, I feel that even with everyone trying to break out of their silos and acknowledging a desire, a common desire to unify, we're all still struggling with, okay, so like, to what extent do we unify, right? And it's that question of liberation. Like, everyone can be like, yeah, liberation's great, but like, to what extent am I cool with liberation, right? Like, if I lose all my students, but I lose them to, like, you know, everyone having a good time, like, they all went and trained with someone else and they're having a great time, like, was that a win for Capoeira if it was a loss for me? And I'm not saying like that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen, but I feel like that's kind of where people's minds go. People are like, oh yeah, we need to unify, but also not at my expense. And I feel like when it gets to like, it's that part of the equation, the not at my expense part, that like we all need to really like do some critical kind of self-reflection on. It's like, all right, do I feel like I have something to lose if we have certain relationships with other Capoeira groups? And then if the answer is yes, you know, you got to unpack that. Like, what do I feel like I have to lose? What am I bringing to the table? Because that's another thing, is that in that, again, capitalist ecosystem of lowest common denominator being movements, if all you're teaching is the movements, if all you're teaching is this, like, the superficial Capoeira, then anyone who comes along teaching that plus anything else, you know, like values, you know, like social justice orientation, any of that stuff becomes a value proposition, you know, and like people will be like, oh, okay, like now that this marketplace has like a bunch of movements plus this one person who's doing a little bit more than that, you know, that becomes kind of a, I mean, you know, it amps the competition, and then it's like, okay, so now I have to have values in my, you know, Capoeira. Like, what's that, you know? Anyway.
No, I think you bring up great points, and you know, I'm glad you didn't say, what does liberation look like? Because that's like a like three other podcasts and 20 episodes, right? And I was like, if he does this, I would be so mad, right? I'm like, but you didn't. You said. You know, if you teach Capoeira, you got to ask them, what are you in it for? You know, like, what are you in it for? And I think that's important. And one thing that when I first started teaching, I remember, like, we had, like, all these students, right, for, like, 8 months. And then, like, we lose most of them. You lose, like, 80% of them, you know? And then, like, I'm like, damn, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what are we doing wrong? Well, we got to perform more. We got to do this. We got to lower our rates. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this. And then, like, a couple of months, it got back up again to all those students. And then we would lose them again. And it was just like, and you know, after a couple of months, you would lose most of them. And it was just like, bro, what the fuck? You know, and I thought it was something that we were doing, right? Something that we were doing, but it wasn't that. I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe the class is too hard. Like, maybe we make it easier. And it's like, no, it's just, again, capitalism, the way it works, you know, people have more time during the summer. People, you know, they take time off for leisure. We can go outside more often. So, yeah, you're going to have that cycle. And then during the winter, people, like, they might need extra work. They're not going to go outside as much. They don't have much vacation time. So they're not going to, you know, things happen. People get, you know, somebody has a baby, somebody gets married, somebody moves, they finish school. There's so many factors that are involved because of capitalism, right?
Yep.
So I used to be like, yo, what the hell? And shout out to my man, Sonny. He's a lot. He teaches Kung Fu. And he teaches in the School of Mecca. He teaches the civilization classes for the Nation of Gods of Earth up there. He's been doing it for a long time. And he actually said, you come in there and you teach your class and you teach like that's going to be the last day you teach. You know, like that student might not come back tomorrow. So you got to teach them as much as you can and be okay with them not coming back for whatever reason. You have to just really, and it's an egotistical thing, right? It's not about how great you are as an instructor, how, you know, but like you got to teach like it might be your last day, right? And I had to learn how to let that go. I had to really absorb that lesson about, you know, what I teach. And then the best part is that, and shout out to Sifu Moon who taught me this. He teaches my son's Kung Fu. He was like, well, you don't really, he said, I'm not in this to make, and this might, again, this may sound cliche. He's like, I'm not in this to make Kung Fu masters. He's like, I have a lot of students who are great Kung Fu, martial practitioners. They're great. And he does. Right. He said, I'm in here to cultivate humans. That's what I'm here to do. Cultivate people. And so when I look at Capoeira, when I look at my time at Capoeira, the students that I had and how much Capoeira has changed their life and made them different. They may not practice Capoeira, but the lessons that we taught and discussed and learned and fought and bled and cried and laughed about, they took those lessons to heart and applied it to their daily lives. And so that's part of the community. That's part of community. And that's how we got to look at it. You know what I'm saying? And I know for the community, I know when they see Capoeiristas, particularly the black community, right? They really appreciate us. They may not show it monetarily in some cases, but they really, really appreciate it. And I remember some of my babies were saying, like, you know, they're really excited about the class. And I remember they went back home, and one of the parents called me, and they was like, hey, I ran into them in the supermarket. They were like, hey, they really enjoyed it, but they were really curious as to why you teach it for free. You know, they're like, cause they think it's so dope, and they think, and I'm like, wow, like they really, these children, you know what I mean, that are in elementary school, they really understand the value of capoeira. You know, they really do. They're like, man, you should be getting paid for this. You should be, you know, and one of them was like, you should be getting millions of dollars for this, you know, like,
yeah, nice.
And I'm like, I will, yeah. That'd be great, you know what I'm saying? But like, and I'm just like, that's like, well, you know, what we want to teach them is what we value what's in our community. And I remember being young and the older cats teaching me how to slap box, right? Teaching me how to defend myself and how to use a body song, a butterfly knife. Like they taught me, like, I didn't pay for that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like people pay for that now. I didn't pay for that. When I learned breakdancing, I didn't pay for that. They taught me that for free. Like that was, no one was like, oh, you got to pay X amount per month. Here's a contract. It was like, nah, I'll show you how to do it. And it was just like, wow. Like, you know, like that's that we value the shit in our community. And capoeira is a way for me to demonstrate that value, you know?
Indeed. Man, that's a beautiful way to put it, like beautiful juxtaposition.
Thank you.
Like, you know, value and I would say accessibility, you know, mm-hmm. like so many people, again, you know, this system people, oh, if you value it, like, yeah, because I mean, that's one of the first lessons that someone, Pikachu, shout out to Pikachu.
True indeed. Yeah. That movie was actually pretty good. That Pokemon movie was actually pretty dope.
Oh, you bet. I haven't seen that. With the
Detective it's actually Pikachu. Dope, man. It's actually dope. Detective Pikachu was actually dope, man. I'm not like a Pokemon connoisseur, but I was feeling it, man. I was feeling it.
Bet. I'll check it out. I'll put it on my list. Yeah. But we had this this cat, Pikachu. I mean, I trained with him. It was one of those names, you know, like he's Taiwanese. So like, anyway, he came in, you know, message phone was like Pikachu, but he's like super underrated as far as like, I think the role he played in the development of a lot of students. When I started, it was in like in my first, I started in college and like, you know, the whole poor college student, everything, can't afford anything. And I was like, I think there was a semester where it was the semester I started was like $30 a semester. I was like, oh, you know, I can afford that. Yeah, and then the next semester it was like $100 a semester. And I was like, oh no, you know, and like looking back now, I'm like, man, like that wasn't shit, you know, like, but, you know, I was like, man, why is this, like, why do we have to pay for this or something? And Pikachu just comes in and he's just like expectation of value, you know, like, if you pay for it, then you'll like, I mean, you'll be invested, right? Like even if the money itself doesn't mean a whole lot, mm-hmm. the fact that you know you're willing to pay something for it means something. So like from that point on, I was like, oh, okay. Like that actually, it didn't settle in immediately. That lesson didn't settle in immediately. It took a few years, but then I was like, oh, I get it. Like, yeah, you should pay for it if you value it. But like, you know, with Eclipse, since the pandemic started and since we started teaching, we haven't been charging for any of our classes, you know, and people are like, yeah, I think you should. I mean, like what you said, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, like, why are you teaching this stuff for free? And, you know, we're here teaching two online classes a week, one in-person class a week. We just started up, actually, like lunchtime EST, noon music classes where we learn. Just on Zoom, like just different song lyrics for like an hour so we can get our music up, and we're doing that and it's all free. Like we just have these things going on, and the point is like, I mean, part of the point one is we want it to be accessible, like cast a wide net and, you know, see like who latches on, but like also we love doing this stuff, like you know. Before the pandemic, I was, you know, doing capoeira like 6 days a week, you know, between teaching and like training. So now it's like, oh, I need to get that back. Like I enjoy doing that. I want to be doing that. So like, whether I'm getting paid or not, I'm going to be doing that. So I might as well, like, you know, like, hey, who wants to join me? You know, like, training this thing. Like, we're just going to do the sequence today. This is what we're going to work on. Like, and it's just a really nice thing. Like, it's a good sign, right? Like, when people aren't charging and they're being consistent about it, and like, you can sense their passion. I mean, like, you know, you said, like, that's community. That's, and that's not to say that like people should not charge, right? Like, yes.
Yeah. I don't want nobody to feel some type of way about
yeah,
that.
No, exactly.
I get it. Like, I get it. Yeah. And there's ways around that. I've learned ways around where I've been in situations where I was like, well, okay, I don't want these students right here. They can't afford it, but this is what I'm going to do, you know? Yeah. And I figured there's ways around that, you know, not just getting grants, but like getting the community to pay for it. Like, cause there are people who in your community that are willing to pay for other people to go to school.
Yep.
I've seen it happen across the board with different, you know, in different fields where people are like, well, you know, matter of fact, you know, once my son graduates, we're going to pay for somebody's art camp for one of my elders. Like, hey, this is for somebody where whoever can't afford it. And there's ways to do that to where other people that are not clean copyright could do it and you could still eat. You know what I mean? You just gotta find the thing that I learned is there's a money person in your group. There's somebody in your school. I have somebody in my class, Avogado, who does paperwork. That's what he does. That's why his name is Lawyer.
Yeah.
He does all my legal stuff. I'd be like, hey, you do it. I don't understand it. How you do this? I need a waiver form. Give me a waiver form. Like, there's somebody in your group. And Mr. Bimba taught us that, right? Because he had a student in his class who was a doctor who took care of his arthritis, right? So, like, you got it. There's somebody in your group that can do something that none of us can do, and they're good at it, and you can always get them to help you do that. So there's ways around that to where you don't have to charge your students, but you can still get paid to do it.
Right.
And that goes back to community. That goes right back to the community. Somebody in your community knows how to do X, Y, Z. Somebody knows, like, I don't know how to fish. I said, I got to find somebody in my community that knows how to fish, teach my kids how to fish. And I found somebody and they taught my kids how to fish. You know, I didn't know how to play chess. I got to find somebody in the community that knows how to play chess. And I find, so there's always somebody in your community that can do it. So, and they can help you get that money. So I'm not trying to disparage anybody. You can make a living doing capoeira. You can make a living doing all that stuff. I'm not trying to discourage that at all. So thank you for that, Tiku Shikun.
Likewise, thank you.
So we're gonna end it here because we covered a lot, and I know we can go on and on. But again, we shall return and with more people next time. Gonna make an effort to get out to Atlanta. Right now, it looks like October. It actually looks like October. Okay. So because I know my partner, she has to go down there and do some workshops for her art stuff. So I'm just gonna hop along. So definitely we'll put that in the works and I'll definitely link up with you all and hopefully get into one of those open holdouts y'all have. So anything you want to add on before we go, and when you're done adding on, if you can give your contact information.
Yes. I mean, I don't really have anything in particular to add other than, you know, what does liberation look like? I'm kidding.
Nah, that's gonna be part 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah.
And then season 2, right? Episodes 1 through 8. Right?
But I think that's homework. That is homework. That's good homework.
That's homework. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way to, you know. Anyway, yeah, shit. That is homework. But yeah. I really appreciate this conversation. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate, you know, like, your perspective, your approach to everything. I really appreciate the way you talk, and I feel like and that's just like, I mean, like, just the way you sound.
Thanks, man.
I think the last time we were on here, I was kind of trying to emulate that. It did not go so well for me, at least on playback. So,
bro, you sounded I like the way you speak. I like the way you talk. I like the way you articulate. I like the way I hope to meet more. People are gonna get mad when I say this. I wish there were more brothers like you in capoeira. Like, I really do that, because, you know, you need people to really not just theorize, but also apply it and practice and put it into practice. Like, we need that. Like, we really. And then not only that, you take everything that you're involved with and throw it in capoeira. And it's like, which your videos are difficult, because I'm like, yo, he's doing this move, let me rewind that. But then you're dropping jewels at the same time. And I'm kind of like, well, he said this. And it's kind of, and you know, the thing about IG is that you can't rewind. Like, you got to watch the whole shit and then go back to the beginning. You can't just stop and be like, yo. So, but they're dope. And I think that's needed. I think we need to see more brothers like you in capoeira, period. And I'm glad that to see somebody with your energy, with your skill level too, and also what you teach, like all that stuff together, that's dope, man. That's a dope combination. I don't see that too often, period, to be quite honest, you know? So, yep. Because you don't be on no bullshit. You don't be on no bullshit. I remember being young and being on some bullshit, like being on some real, you know, real patriarchal bullshit. Like, I'm for real, man.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you. And I feel like, I was definitely there at some point, you know, like, I feel like mine was like a quiet internalization. I don't know, you know, maybe I'm giving myself too much or not enough credit or whatever.
You're not giving yourself enough credit. You're not giving yourself enough credit. Because if I felt that way, I would have brought you back on the show.
Bet.
If I felt that way, I would have never responded to another DM from you again.
Bet. I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? I don't do like energy. Yeah, I don't feel like your shit would have been on red forever. Like, I want to block you, but you know what I'm saying? So, like, and then, you know, like, Contramesa Amazonas, I was like, oh, shit, like, oh, you know, Pele, like, you don't, like, your crew is tight. So it's not just you, you know, your crew is tight. So, but your contact information, if anybody wanted to contact you.
Instagram, Twitter, at Chicum Capoeira, that's TICUM_CAPOEIRA, Chicum Capoeira. I think that's all I've really got for now. I've got a Facebook, like, you know, I'm hardly ever on it. Actually, if you want to follow me on Facebook, my name is, you know, KWADJODANSO, Danso, Kojo Danso. And I just say that because, like, when I do get on Facebook, it's to share, like, you know, GoFundMe's or stuff. So, like, you know, that stuff is important. And then also, like, what else is there? I mean, LinkedIn, shit. Oh, yeah. Delta Star Digital Media. That's my digital marketing venture.
Awesome.
On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Delta Star Digital. I mean, you put that in, that should be it.
Cool.
And then I would be nothing without my community. So shout out to all the people I fuck with, because y'all push me to be the better, the best, push me towards being the best version of myself. And that includes you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. Like, you know, I get the feeling that anytime we like meet someone, we're like, I wish there were more people like you in capoeira. Like, that person is probably reciprocating the feeling, because I feel the exact same way about you.
Thank you, man.
Having these conversations and seeing what you're doing, knowing what you're doing and what you've been doing in the community for all this time, like, it's much appreciated. Seeing your network, you know, like, run into people, I'll be, oh, you know, Dina. You know, and more. And like, just seeing the people you bring on this show, it's dope. You know, so
and I apologize for the love fest on the panel discussion, because I felt like I was like, dude, I was like, bro, what are you doing? like, what are you doing, bro? Like,
it was all good. It was
no, it's all love. I just like, let's get to the topic at hand. Like, yeah.
True. I mean, as a moderator, I took a lot of notes for like, okay, next time I'll do this differently, and, you know, like,
it's not your fault. It's his fault. It's not your fault at all. I was like, yo, like, I was like, bruh, you know, I was like, bruh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you.
And you know, full confession, and then we're going to end here. We weren't speaking up until that point.
Is that you and Dita?
Yeah. We were not speaking. We fell out. We were not speaking up until that point.
Oh, like yep. not speaking as in
at all, at all. We was oh, we wow. were not. It was like yeah. And then I pulled up on the panel. Yeah, yeah, that was beef. They oh, put man. Up on the panel, and I was like, oh shit. And I was like, oh, snap. I was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? And then he,
yeah.
I did not. So like, I'm not saying he was going to be like, yo, fuck you, Trabalo. I'm not saying he was going to do that, but I didn't see that coming. I didn't see, like, yo, I've been watching you and I see what y'all do. And I was just like, oh, shit. Like, I did not expect that love. I didn't expect him to be like, fuck you, you know, because I wouldn't have done it on somebody else's panel. I'd be like, yo, this is that person's panel. But yeah.
Wow.
Full confession. Yeah, full confession. Yeah, like, yep.
Damn. So, I hope you didn't think it was a setup. Like,
No. No, not at all. Because even if, let's say, for example, even if you told me he was going to be on it, I still would have pulled up.
Bad.
I still would have pulled up. And that's because Amazonia, I was like, I never met her, but Libijaja is family. So I was like, oh, they family. And then you had introduced me to the other sister. And I was like, okay, she's cool. So I was going to go there for the love. So it wasn't. You know, if you had told me, I still would have pulled up. I didn't know he was going to be there. But I still would have pulled up. So that's full disclosure to the audience, you know, so that y'all know it's out there. So, yeah. So, yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go up to Chicago to squash it, just to let everybody know. I'm going to go up there and be like, yo, it's done. You know what I mean? Like, water under the bridge.
Good call.
So. Man. Yep. So
building and rebuilding community.
Yes, sir. So that's why I never got a chance to tell you that. I never got a chance to tell you. So we're doing it publicly here. So we're going to go ahead and end the show, everybody. Peace.
Peace.
There you have it. Another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. If you want to book your mans for a workshop, whether it's capoeira, breaking, or you want me to talk about hip-hop culture, or being a black male feminist, hit me up on the website, omisbench.com, and bench is spelled B-E-N-C-H.com. If you just want to hit me up on the Twitters, you know where I'm at, at Dan Trezomi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. And the official Twitter for the show is Omis Podcast, that's O-M-I-S Podcast. Right. You know, and if you want to continue the discussion, use the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At, killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. Yo, do me a solid, man. Support the show. You can subscribe. You know what I mean? For 99 cents a month, man. You could do that. Or if you big money, you could do $5 a month. The link will be in the show notes. Or if you want to buy a present or you a coffee snob like myself, you could always buy a coffee mug, man. I'm trying to reach 100 mugs sold for the year 2021. I'm only at 4, so please help a brother out. Word.